Moving on to agenda item number seven, report and possible discussion on environmental lab by Tiffany Malson, Environmental and Compliance Manager. Tiffany, thank you for waiting so patiently.
No problem. Can everyone hear me and see the slides?
Yes, thank you.
This is a follow-on to my agenda item from last board meeting. And this is a project that has been long on the books and often overcome by other projects, but this supports out of the BRA strategic plan, parts three, which is related to the protection of water resources and improvement of water quality where possible. And item 6D, which is ensure a safe working environment, promote safety conscious attitude in all employees, and facilitate implementation of proactive steps to reduce accidents and incidents. As we discussed last time, we've been looking at options to pursue a new environmental lab, and the fact that ours was built over 20 years ago, our scope.
That's not a true statement.
Okay. It was designed about 20 years ago, and our scope has been greatly expanded since then in the BRA, and we have now reached a maximum where we are essentially out of space. The current status of the laboratory, we now have three independent reviews that have cited deficiencies and no room for new equipment or to increase the number of existing analyses, not enough room to comply with manufacturer's recommended space requirements for the equipment, insufficient on-site storage space. We have no workshop space for the aquatic scientists. Our environmental controls are somewhat inadequate, and we don't meet the industry standards for safety. As you recall, we brought in 2018 Gresham Smith to start looking at this problem pre-pandemic. And at the time, our current lab has 951 square feet. And to bring us up to compliance with ADA standards, industry safety standards, and our manufacturer's equipment standards, Gresham Smith estimated we would need approximately 5,700 square feet. So pre-pandemic, they came in and looked at the entirety of the BRA, what we would need at central office going forward, and what the environmental services group would need. At the time, they identified that central office would have a net need of 24,000 square feet to house up to 126 employees anticipated over the next 10 to 15 years. However, they did conclude that even at that time, with their recommendations for reconfiguring of central office and moving environmental services and the Office of Safety and Security out of central office, we would still max the capacity of central office out in 15 years. So that was one of their largest recommendations, was to build an offsite called Environmental Operations Facility that would house all of environmental services. The Office of Safety and Security would include our business continuity hardware, and would also include the electrical operations department, and then structured modifications to central office to more efficiently use the space. And that would give us at least 15 more years of use at a central office. Now, of course, that was all pre-pandemic, when everyone had a hard office space and worked full time in the office. We went back post-pandemic based on the success of our remote working and evaluated five additional scenarios. The first three were reduced footprints for an offsite environmental operations facility. Scenario one, removed the safety and security team. Scenario two, removed also the space for the electrical and SCADA team from the shop building. And then scenario three, they did a full reduction to just environmental services of the entire proposed site. The last two scenarios, which y'all authorized us to look at the last board meeting, involved opportunities on central office property. Scenario four, we looked at building a lab and storage workshop space adjacent to central office on central office property. The electrical operations team will remain in their lease location offsite. Environmental services staff and OSS staff offices will remain in central office. And this will require eventual structure modifications to central office to house growth, but it won't require immediate remodel. Scenario 5 is to expand the laboratory to the needed footprint within central office. That will require pretty immediate and some significant modification to central office. This is just a summary of the proposed space scenarios. As you see, with scenario 5, we only get to that recommended 5,700 square feet that Gresham Smith assessed was needed to meet safety, ADA requirements, and equipment requirements. So that solution still provides no room for expansion of analyses. We still fight the productivity issues with having 90% of our field equipment stored offsite in a boat storage facility on the other side of Lake Waco. And so that one is really not very strongly favored right now. We did have Gresham Smith do Class 4 OPCC cost estimates for each scenario. In light of current supply chain issues leading to higher building costs, they have recommended that for budgetary purposes, we work with the high-end estimates. However, they fully anticipate, or their costing group has, that by the time we've completed design in an additional year, year and a half, those will have normalized and we could go back to budgeting closer to their actual OPCC number. Our recommendation, we think scenario 4 works the best. It's the most cost effective. It meets the needs for growth and consolidation of all of the environmental services equipment on one site. It provides space for future increases in the number of types of analyses and provides for the maximum potential office space to incorporate growth over the next 15 years. The benefits of that is the modification at CO can be performed on a phased as needed basis, which mainly is converting to a more open concept work plan. And those modifications would be non-structural. With scenario 5, there would be some significant structural modifications that would have to be made to fit the lab within central office. One of the other big benefits of recommendation 4 is, you know, after modification of workspaces in central office will be able to house 107 positions at one time with 19 positions working remotely. If we went with scenario 5, after we modified central office, it would be able to hold 76 positions at one time with 50 positions working remotely. So the displacement is much greater trying to expand the lab within the current central office's footprint. This is just Gresham Smith's proposed scenario plan for site 4. We would have a laboratory building here. This would be masonry, look similar to central office. And then right here, we would have a engineered metal building for a boat storage and a workshop space for the aquatic scientist. This is just a more detailed view of it. And you can see, for those who've walked around central office, basically all the interior office spaces, hard offices, would be reduced to open space work areas that would give remote workers opportunities to have a space when they come to central office to plug into a docking station, would allow those staff that need to be in the office permanently to look at it. And then, of course, for departments that are handle sensitive material, HR, the legal department, they still have their hard office spaces. Next steps eventually will be to complete and advertise an RFP for design for the selected scenario, execute the design contract and begin design. But before we get to that point and ask permission to take those next steps, we would like to hear any comments, concerns, questions you would like us to answer before we bring a proposal back at the next board meeting to ask for permission to go to that next step.
Thank you, Tiffany. Great presentation. The other thing that is key here is our executive management team getting our hands around what normal looks like. Again, we're consistent with a lot of the corporate world, and we're opening back up, and things in June will look a whole lot different than they have the last few months. But there are, you've heard me talk about this a little bit, there's a tremendous need for growth for all of the projects that we have coming and all of the things that we're doing. And we bragged so many years about being one deep, and you can't be successful if you're going to run as hard as we are being one deep. And then also there are some significant advantages for allowing the workforce to not have to report to Waco. We have made some strategic hires for folks that I'm not sure that would have signed on with BRA, but for us forcing them to come to Waco. So what we're trying to do between now and the time that we bring this to the board for consideration is understand how this plays into that entire bigger picture in the advantages and pros and cons of what that looks like. We're convinced as a staff, I'm convinced as a CEO that we need the lab space. Our lab is doing great things. As we talked about during the PK presentation, we're going to continue to expand to protect the resource that we have in the water supply of the great state of Texas. So we just still, like Tiffany said, we wanted you all to look at this. If you don't want to give us input today, look at it. Provide me some feedback in the weeks to come, and we're wanting to know what you think about these additions.
Director Savage had a question.
Yes, I was just wondering, so we've got two pretty big projects that are acquisition, so if Allen Creek were to move forward, and then I can't remember the name of the other one that's up there where we're reviewing the waste of a mining operation, tailings, but is it in Grimes County? But if those two were to come in, what impact would that have on your lab load, Tiffany? I mean, that's where we're getting this 15%. I mean, would it be more than that? Or are we making sure we're kind of planning adequately for the future?
We're right now, honestly, we can't handle the increased workload of just the additional reservoir monitoring. We will have to be using a contract lab for that, because we can't, with the equipment we have and the staff we have and the space we have, we can't take on more. So any additional projects, Allen's Creek, yes, will require more water quality monitoring. The other project will certainly require a new asset that we need to perform water quality monitoring on. So the ability to take on and run more samples and expand, we are right now very restricted. We can't. We have maxed out what we can do in the space we have. So anything additional is going to require contract labs until such time as we can remedy our space issues. And I'll be honest, in the world of surface water and what you have to do to meet TCEQ quality control standards for participation in the Clean Rivers Program, we have not been abundantly successful in finding contract labs that can meet the quality control requirements those samples have. We have some, we're doing the best we can, but honestly, we can usually only accept about half the data because it's not the way most commercial labs are set up to run.
Well, and I know from my own extensive lab experience, with NALCO, that's quite costly to do the offsite stuff. And I think we can just expect more and more environmental needs to grow. So I think that this scenario 4 is great. And it's also, it's being nimble because, we're taking into account what we've learned from COVID and having the offsite work folks. So I think it's a great recommendation.
Thank you.
So Tiffany, I have a question. Kind of a follow-up, I think, to what Director Savage was talking about. So number 4, will you put that slide up? That is the one that you're proposing.
Yes.
So you said over the next 15 years, so we know that it takes a while to build to get our reservoir, Allen's Creek, and everything up and running. So you're saying that proposed number 4 will get us for about 15 years, and at which point we have Allen's Creek that we've doubled our organization in size, basically, as far as the requirements of what we're doing. So is that realistic? Is that just a Band-Aid?
No, this proposed scenario four includes significant room for expansion. So this gets us the 5,700 we need to function right now, plus roughly an additional, I'm trying to do the math in my head and I'm not that good at it, 3,300 square feet or so for expansion, for taking on new analyses. We know there are some things at work at the state and federal levels that will probably necessitate change in some of the analyses we run now and require some new, much larger equipment than what we have. So we have tried to incorporate everything we can think of coming forward at us for as far as increased work, changes in analytical methods that we see coming down the road from the state and federal government. So we do have expansion room in here. This is not a Band-Aid for the lab.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the board?
Looks like Director Henderson has a question.
Oh, Jen Henderson, did you have a question?
I do have one question really quick for you, Tiffany. It looks like we're going to look at one large lab for the whole basin. Have you thought about maybe doing two smaller labs, one in the northern part and one in the southern part? Would that even help you? I'm just kind of thinking outside the box to see if there's something.
We have to submit data to Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. We have to go through the NELAP accreditation process, which is National Laboratory Environmental Laboratory Accreditation process. Their standards make having satellite labs very difficult. We have pursued that before because, to be honest, bacteria has a very short holding time for us, and it's difficult to get from the far reaches. And we did try to propose establishing a lab at PK at one time, and it was rebuffed pretty strongly because we wouldn't have the oversight. We would basically have to duplicate all the quality control staff, all the lab staff. I think it would end up in a larger operation than what we need.
Great. I'm glad you explored that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Director Savage, did you still have a question?
No, let me get my hand down.
Okay. Any other board members?
Just a quick comment, this is Ford Taylor. I think the repurposing of the existing offices into cubicle type work setting makes all the sense in the world. You're not building new infrastructure outside. This just seems like the most logical way to go. And I think your numbers are very reasonable. They sound high, but there is, from my experience, there's probably no higher cost per square foot than building lab space.
You're correct. With Gresham Smith, they said lab space is roughly not quite $700 per square foot, whereas building office space from the ground up is running $300 to $450 a square foot. So lab space, because of the environmental controls it requires to have, is very expensive.
And from a communication standpoint, I understand technology and all. I still think it's better to have all of it in one central location than spread apart to a different site. I like this plan. I think y'all have done a really good job of thinking this thing out.
Thank you.
That's all. Thanks, Cynthia. My hand down.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, Tiffany, thank you for the presentation.
All right. Thank you.